Hello, this is Tiana Shoey, and I'm the host of the Made to Conquer podcast. This podcast is designed to encourage you to have a deep relationship with Jesus. Jesus told us to make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because when we stand before Him, we want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Hello, everyone. This is Tiana Shoey, and welcome to the podcast, Made to Conquer. This is coming out in the first week of April, so I hope everybody who's listening to this had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday, and we are plowing straight ahead into April, second quarter. For those of you that pay attention to the quarters of the year, the rest of you are like, what are you talking about? I don't care. So welcome and thank you. I'm actually really excited about today's episode because we are doing a first time ever on Made to Conquer, and we're having our first guest ever in the history of the podcast, and I'm very excited to tell you all about this guest. So before we jump into that, I just want to give a few quick announcements. First thing is, we are doing another live Bible study. One of the amazing ladies from the Made to Conquer group, Noemi, has set up a new study. She's going to be taking the group through Chuck Missler's Learn the Bible in 24 hours. And all the information for that you can find on the Made to Conquer podcast website under the events page. And it's going to be completely free. The only thing you have to do is buy your book and show up for the Zoom meeting that's going to be done every week. So I know that that's going to be kicking off towards the end of April. I should have looked those dates up before I did this. But you know, that would have been like smart or something like that. But that's going to be all of that information is on the Made to Conquer podcast website under the events page, and I'm trying to pull it up to see when the next Bible study is coming. I'm trying to kill time, but I'm not moving as fast as I'd hope to. Anyway, it's all going to be on there. Okay, there we go. It's going to be starting at the end of April, and you know what? I apologize. It doesn't look like we have all the information up there, so we will get that fixed by the time I get this put up. So it does look like we will have everything going, but it's going to be starting, I know, at the end of April, and it's going to be led by Noemi, who I'm excited for you guys to meet. Noemi's been one of the original, she's not the original OG, she's a second class OG. And for those of you, by the way, who were like, what the heck is OG? I just have to tell you, I just learned what OG meant a few months ago, and that's because I have two guilty pleasures when it comes to TV. I don't watch TV at all, but I have two guilty pleasures when it comes to TV. I love me some Great British Bake Off, I'm not going to lie. I love the Great British Baking Show. Something about watching British Home Cooks makes my heart smile. And then my other guilty pleasure is Tournament of Champions, which is another cooking show that's hosted by Guy Fieri, and he uses OG to talk about everybody. And I was like, what is OG? My husband's like, original gangster. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And so apparently that's like the original group. And our special guest today, she is an OG of OGs. So not a term I would have used any other time in my life, except for I've watched enough Tournament of Champions now and cooking shows that I use that term. So Noemi is wonderful, and you're going to enjoy that Bible study. And again, all that information, we'll get that up on the website by the time this podcast is put out. All right. So then the only other thing before I introduce you to our guest is I just want to say thank you to those of you that support this podcast monthly. You make it possible for hundreds and thousands of lives to get reached. It's been quite amazing for those of us who recently went on the women's retreat just to see what God's doing in the individual lives of a small subset of the Made to Conquer group. There's a bigger group out there that I know that we haven't had the chance to meet all of you guys, but God is really doing great things, and appreciate you being a part of that. So with that said, I'm very excited to announce today's guest. I couldn't think of a better person to have as our first guest on this podcast. We're going to have Val Fast joining us. Or actually, she is joining us. She's been listening to me nodding along. Hey, Val, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, thank you for joining us. So let me give you guys a little bit of history on Val, and then we're going to learn a lot about her today, and I'm very excited to have her on the podcast. So for those of you who followed Made to Conquer for any amount of time, you know that back in, and Val and I were just talking about this, April of 2022, we had our first Made to Conquer get together retreat. And we basically just said, hey, look, Elena and I are going to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. And then we're going to go to the Creation Museum. If you want to meet us in Kentucky, you're welcome to meet us in Kentucky. Here's where we're going to be when, and we'd love to see you there. And we had a total of seven of us that showed up, and only one of everybody in that group came by themselves. And this person was not only brave enough to be the only solo attendee, but she also got on an airplane to get there. And so when Val came walking in, Elena and I about fell over, because Val, where did you fly from?
South Dakota, northeast South Dakota.
So Val,
almost you're from- to Canada. Yep. You hear the accent.
Yeah, well, your accent did give you away. So when Val walks in and she was by herself from South Dakota, I was like, this lady is special, because it takes a lot of courage to come to something like that by yourself, doesn't it?
It takes a rock bottom, actually. So,
yep. Well, that's interesting. And I want to make sure we get to spend some time on that comment, rock bottom. And Val was just super special, apart from the fact that we all couldn't get over her accent. But the funny thing was about Val is that first trip, she was really soft-spoken. And so we all took away from this, you know, that she's this really kind of tame, gentle, as a, you know, gentle. And not that you're not gentle, Val, but you have a ferocious lioness inside of you that we've come to get to know, I don't know if I'm saying that right, over the past couple of years. And one of the very first ways you introduced yourself was to tell us about your family. So that I think is a great way to start. So Val, rather than me talking about you, why don't you introduce yourself to our to our audience?
So I have 5 children, and their ages are, my twins are both 5-year-old girls. Then I have a 4-year-old boy, a 3-year-old, and a today 11-month-old. So we have a lot of children in a very short amount of time, and it is a wild ride coming from someone that didn't ever want children to start with. So God showed me something different.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the way you introduced yourself back then, because this was before you had Bridger, was I've got 4 mm-hmm. under 4, and mm-hmm. now you've got 5 at 5 and under.
Yes. Yep. It just changes. We've always had, first it was 2 under 1, and then it was 3, 1 and under, and then it just kind of progressed from there. And God just keeps giving us children, whether we plan for them or not. And it's wonderful, but it's always a surprise.
And Val, one of the things I will say is watching you, well, first of all, we watched your whole pregnancy with Bridger, and we also had the privilege of being able to spend some time with Bridger. Val somehow manages to make it seem easy. I don't know how you do it, but your state of calm with all the chaos and the children, because 5 children it's not unmanageable, but it's a lot of work. You just manage to do it. You know, even today you have a big life event that you're doing, and you just was so nonchalant about it.
And like I told you the other day, it always looks great on the outside, but until you see it on the inside too, the everyday, you've told me before, you got to pick your heart, and there's a lot of big things that you can let get in your way. And those are the easy things to me. It's just the everyday with these 5 kids, you can hold it together on the outside, but everyone always talks about there's no perfect Christian. So just keep that in mind.
And that's great wisdom. So one of the things that was really, you know, stood out to us when we first met you was you shared, you know, some of your testimony. And so I'd love for you to kick off this time by just sharing some of your testimony and telling us a little bit about yourself and how you became a part of the Made to Conquer family. And then we'd love to get into the real, you know, what God's been doing in your life since then. And Val's got some great stuff she's going to share with us. And so I'm really excited. You guys are in for a treat today, because God has done wonders in this woman's life. And he is, every time I talk to Val, it's just a testimony of how good God is. So Val, I'll quit rambling and turn it over to you. So we'd love for you to share your story with us.
All right. This is kind of a long story. We have had a lot of things happen in our lives. I'll go from the very beginning. When I was growing up, I had a very typical childhood initially, and there was some sexual abuse as a child that happened, and you just don't understand it at that point in your life. And as I've gotten older, I've just been able to process some of it and understand a little bit of what I was going through back then. But as I grew up, my parents were divorced when I was 10 years old. And that got to be a very, very messy process. My parents hated each other at that point in time. And we were growing up in the church. My dad was the president of our church. My mom was the janitor and a Sunday school teacher. And we were typical. We grew up in a town of 700 people. So we might have like 20 people at church, but everyone knew us. My mom and dad both got caught in affairs, and my mom's was within the church at the time, and my dad immediately moved out and had a girlfriend within a week who he was cheating with. But they just gave up on each other and they had no mercy towards having children or planning to think about what was best for having three kids. At that time I was 10, my brother was 6, and my youngest brother had just been born because we're 10 years apart. So that was a lot for my mom to handle as a single mom. And looking back, she did the best she could. My dad did some really awful things. He had tapped our phone lines. He had people stalking us and watching us through the windows, sending us awful notes on my bike when I'd wake up in the morning, that people had watched us all night, me and my friend, have a sleepover, and just weird things. After that, or during that period of time, my mom was going back to school to be a nurse, and she left us a lot and then got a new boyfriend. So she would leave me to pretty much raise my brothers, who were very young. She'd take the youngest once in a while and would disappear for weeks, months, and we wouldn't see her. So I was at that point paying bills and keeping things together and helping my brothers to get to school, which sometimes Logan would go to D. Smith. Sometimes he'd go to like Preston for school. Like we just didn't. And on the outside, people still thought that our family had it put together. Like nobody knew any of this was going on. And as we grew, my mom just became more distant. My dad, I didn't have anything to do with him. He drove trucks, so he was always absent too. And my brothers went on to be raised the same way. During this time, there's some more sexual abuse that was going on. And I just went off the deep end. Like I didn't have a father figure. I didn't have a mother. So I was going to do whatever I wanted to do and was really, really wild. In the meantime of that all, there was dark thoughts though. I was still involved in our church because that's what you did. Everyone was a part of everything, every sport, every church group, whatever. But we had a new pastor after my mom got caught sleeping with the pastor. So yeah, he came and we had to go to a retreat in Jamestown, North Dakota, which was like a 5-hour drive, I think. And it cost us $200. Well, I didn't have the money. My mom didn't have the money. And the pastor said, well, then you cannot be confirmed. So that was like a huge slap in my face. Like, why can't I be confirmed if I don't go to this retreat? What does that have to do with anything? So I got to a really dark place after that and was like, well, God must not care. And all the bad thoughts going through my mind. And that was really when things were heating up with my parents too, because this process of divorce lasted until I was 20 years old. 21. They fought over custody of my youngest brother and attorneys and being sent in to testify and all of this stuff. It was awful. So there was a point in my life where I was in my car driving and I just about drove my car off a bridge because I was just done with life. And there was always this voice in the back of my head that was like, no, you can't do this. Just something stopping me. And I would still pray. I didn't know any better. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't read a Bible. I'd never been read the Bible to. We went to Sunday school and memorized scripture and memorized the books of the Bible and the basic stories, but that was about it. It was so superficial. And that's just what I thought you did. And we didn't have any church events outside of confirmation. There was no youth group, anything. So then later on, I get to my college years, and that's when the wild Val came out, and everyone loved her. It was exciting. That's how I met my husband. We both started off very wild couple, and his mom was a saint, I guarantee that. So she was always planting a seed, but she wasn't pushing. And there was just always something that stuck with me once I met Brady, that we were meant to be together. And once we got close to getting married, we actually thought I was pregnant. So we decided, oh, we better get married because that's what you do. And after that, I ended up having a miscarriage and we did get married. We had our twins right away after that. And God was just tugging on both of us during that time. Then if you fast forward about 9 months after I had my twins, Brady's mom died of cancer. And she was the only spiritual influence. She actually married us that we had in our lives. Our parents or our families were both a mess outside of her. So it just kind of really hit my husband as a rock bottom too, because he just lost his mom. And then we had three young babies almost, because I was just about due to have Bridger in 2 months after that. Or I'm sorry, Barrett.
Ooh. I was going to say, wait a minute.
They're all the same. They get called every name in the book. So then I was just about ready to have Barrett. And my husband, he grew up drinking, and I hadn't been able to drink, but he was still using that as a crutch. So he kind of hit a rock bottom with losing his mom. And then in the meantime, we actually lost, my husband is a crop duster. So we have a business that we run during all of this and having five kids. And one of our pilots, that was actually his mentor pilot, had a severe heart attack and died during that time too. So he lost him. A couple months later, he lost two friends to drunk driving, very close friends. And then fast forward 6 months after that, he lost the other pilot that we actually bought our business from, who he was close with. So he lost five people in a period of almost a year that just caused that to really spiral down. So Brady and I have gone through a lot with our marriage and a lot of, you know, hitting rock bottom. We've had a lot of betrayal, a lot of issues with our family. And one day my husband just decided he was going to go find a church in town, because we'd been going to a small church out in the middle of nowhere that was very superficial again. And we found the church that we're at, and he just got hit with the spirit. And in the meantime, I had listened to my very first podcast ever, and it happened to be Made to Conquer, as I was scrolling, looking for parenting advice and all this stuff, because I heard everyone talking about podcasts, you know. And it was Made to Conquer. So I like sped up and listened to probably like five or six episodes. And Brady kind of had an episode where he went out and drank and disappeared. And I had hit a rock bottom that day. So I was in my vehicle, and I always tell everyone, I don't hear the little voices typically in my mind where the devil's just telling me things. I hear a big voice like, nope, you're going to go, you're going to kill yourself and show everyone what they're missing and how much you did for everyone, because nobody acknowledges that, which is such a lie. But when you're in such an area of desperation in your life, it's so easy to give into that voice. So I actually had left my family because I just needed to get away, and went for a drive and was sitting, and we had a gun in the middle of our console of our vehicle, and I was ready to take my life. And it just so happened that a new episode of Made to Conquer popped up. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to turn this on. And I had already enrolled to go to the ARC Encounter retreat, or however we were terminologizing that. And so Tiana was speaking about something, and I can't even remember what it was at this point in time, but I'm like, there was just that whisper in the back of my mind that, no, you can't do this. And that was the third time that I've gotten to that point. So I ended up going to the retreat. Nobody knew about the entire story until just recently, but that's kind of my story. And after I hit the ARC Encounter and understood and listened to Tiana about, you can't just go to church and be a religious person and everything, the spirit hit me like crazy. And here I am doing all sorts of things that I could never do before unless I had that in me. So, you know, it really changes your life once you understand and let it in.
Wow, that's a beautiful story, Val. And when she told the first part of her story at that ARC Encounter, she had us all in tears. And little did we know until it was a while before you were comfortable sharing the second part of that, which is that you had really hit rock bottom. And I can just tell you, I'm so glad that you listened to the Holy Spirit that day, because it would not be the same without you. And still one of my favorite life memories and moments is in our get together this past October, all of a sudden Lena is like taking forever to get to my house. And I'm like, what is your problem, Lena? You don't live that far away from me. And then she comes in and she's got this childlike giddyish grin on her face. And I'm like, hey, Lena, she goes, come here. I have something in the car to show you. And she opens her trunk and there's a blanket moving in the back of her trunk, and I pull up in the blanket and there's Val and Bridger. And so it was a pleasant surprise. And that was a lot of fun. I definitely was crying. I don't know if I did a good job hiding my tears, but it was wonderful, a wonderful surprise. So that's a very powerful part of your story. And I think people who are listening to this, there are many people I've talked to who they feel that call of suicide. I think that you don't have to be suicidal to want to die sometimes. And the Bible talks about that a lot. Elijah felt that way. Paul said, we even despaired of life itself. You know, Job said, I wish I had never been born. So it's not uncommon to have those moments in life where you say, this is too much. And the good news is it is too much. Like you said, Val, you know, you are where you are because of what God's done through you. And so that's the beautiful part of your story. So now we get to the more fun part of your story. And I'm really excited for you to talk about this. So you started walking with the Lord, and then the Lord started calling you to something. And I'd love for you to tell that story. I don't want to give any spoiler alerts. I'd love for you to tell it in your own words.
So it was not long after I went to the Ark Encounter that I don't even know why I started praying about my purpose. There was something at the Ark Encounter when we were talking that just sparked me to come home and need to pray about that, because I felt this strong calling that I'm not just a wife and mother, that there's something that the Spirit's supposed to be doing through me. And I didn't know what it was. And I didn't really even know how to pray about it, except for like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here, but I just feel something. So can you show me? So I prayed for almost 9 months. And then night that it hit me, our fourth baby, Navy, she was probably like 18 months old and went through a period of not sleeping. And it was driving me crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm just supposed to use this time to sit and pray. And maybe if I just submit, then she'll start sleeping through the night. So I did. And I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And it took like 8 weeks of that. And I'm like, come on, what is up with this? And then when I was just like desperate one night, I was praying some more and just asked God so harshly, even, I'm like, you just have to scream at me what you want me to do, because I'm sick of praying about this. And so all of a sudden I was scrolling Facebook, and the next day I started getting all these pro-life ads. Okay, I was kind of pro-life, but I didn't ever want to have kids. I didn't know anything about it. All of a sudden I started seeing Seth Gruber, Abby Johnson, live action, just all these things. And I'm like, okay, was I talking about abortion or something to somebody and my phone's picking up on this? Like, why am I getting all this? And then I would say another week later, I'm like, okay, is this supposed to be the nudges that I'm hearing that I'm supposed to do something with this? So I started looking around in the community and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go to the Right to Life meetings. I don't know what else to do. So I started going and I'm like, oh, I'm here with 80-year-old women that like to do floats and send baby bottles around to collect money. And we have a nil budget, but we're not doing anything in the community to help these women with unplanned pregnancies. So how is that beneficial to society? We're not doing anything. So I kept praying about that. And one night it hit me again. Navy's still not sleeping. So we're going on like 10 weeks of this. And I'm rocking and rocking, and God, I audibly heard him. He's like, you have to go and start a pregnancy center. I'm like, what's a pregnancy center? I don't even know what this is. So I started researching what it is, and I'm like, no way. Like, I don't know how to do that. That's a lot of work. Like, who's going to work here? What am I supposed to do this? And I am a nurse. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm just supposed to work at one. So I started looking into it. There's none in Northeast South Dakota. Like, we're talking hours away before you get to one. So I fought it for about 2 weeks. I'm like, nope, that's not what God's asking me to do. So finally, one night I'm like, okay, I keep getting these nudges and I don't know what to do, but I will reach out to Abby Johnson's Pro-Love Ministries and see what she could do for me. So I set up the meeting. They actually missed the appointment and we didn't have the meeting the next day. I'm like, oh no, another dead end. And one of my friends forwarded me a message from a local pastor in town saying, hey, I'm starting a pregnancy center. If there's anybody that's interested in doing this, please let me know. I'm like, okay, I don't have to do this by myself. So I reached out and that was the beginning of it. And now we, after about 18 months, have a successful pregnancy center in our hometown. We have now seen 8 clients in the first 2 months, which is just as many clients as any other center in South Dakota is seeing on average. And we're brand new and fresh. So we have had a couple of abortion-minded women already, even though abortions are illegal in South Dakota. we have a really big issue to combat being next to Minnesota, where even minors can get abortions and the abortion pill getting shipped in. So we are working on that, and it just feels really great to have that done so far.
Wow, that's fantastic. So that makes it, again, she makes it sound so easy. Oh, you know, and then now we have an abortion center. But I know that it was, there was a lot of, you know, bustle and grind to get it to this point. And so talk to us a little bit about some of the persistence that you had to endure, and then what your role is today in the pregnancy center.
So over the course of the 18 months, we started from scratch. We had a little bit of help from a few centers in the state, but I started out as the vice president. We definitely had some spiritual warfare and some things to combat with, you know, the learning curve, different ideas on the board, people coming and going and not being able to put in as much time to a startup nonprofit as they were expecting to, which I definitely didn't expect to have to put in near the amount of time as I do. Some weeks it might be 40 weeks, some weeks it's 20 weeks on top of our business and five kids and everything. So it's just been crazy, but it's been definitely not me. I could have never put in this time, and the spirit has just made all of this align. And our original president and pastor founder had to step down to go and be with the church because it was taking way more time than he had planned on. So I'm now our president. I am also doing ultrasounds and medical stuff and pretty much working there, maybe probably about 20 hours a week still. So we're getting there. We just hired a development director. So she does a lot of donor relations and all of our marketing stuff. And we are working on hiring a client services director so that she can do all the volunteer coordinating, because we operate purely with volunteers and one paid staff right now. And then our board is very, very hands-on. So that's kind of where we're at there. And hopefully we're going to grow. I keep getting these nudges and just these visions when I'm there that this is going to blow up in the next year. So I have a feeling we have a lot more to come, but.
Wow, that's exciting. So there's a couple things you said that I think it's important to recap for everybody that's listening. You know, the first thing that you pointed out is it took a while to figure out what God was leading you to. And I think sometimes people feel like, well, it should be so obvious and it should be so evident. And, you know, you had this battle where the Lord was like, all right, I'm going to put you into an arena with Navy where you get to stay up and talk to me about this all the time. And so there was a lot of endurance that was required just to get to the point of figuring out where it was that the Lord's leading you. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who is in the middle of that and feels like, I just don't know what my purpose is?
You just need to keep praying until you hear something, because he's going to answer at some point in time. It's just testing your endurance and whether you're ready for something, because I definitely was not ready the 9 months prior when I started praying about that. And I think that the trajectory of what he was entrusting me with could have changed very easily had I stopped praying and not been ready. I could have been doing something completely different, but the persistence and enduring the frustrations and everything, I think, led me right to where I was supposed to be. And, you know, just that feeling of knowing that you obeyed and did what he told you to do is like no other, especially with something that big, because like I said, there's no way that Val could have done this. None of this has been me. The energy and my schedule aligning when I need to be there, and just the right people on our board, and all of the donors and the seed money that it has all been a God thing. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's amazing, Val. And I think that's important to hear that, is you've got to endure through the times when it feels like God's silent. He's not. He's taking you through a process. And there's a biblical model for this. I know I've seen it in my life. You talked about it in your life. God will put something on your heart long before you're ready for it. And then he takes you through a maturing process to prepare you. And so oftentimes you'll know, you may not have with absolute clarity what it is that God wants you to do, but you'll have a heart or a passion for something. And then God takes you through the maturing process. I mean, Joseph, God gave him two dreams about his place, but it was years in Potiphar's house and years in prison before God gave that ministry to Joseph. So I think that endurance is important. And then you said something else that was really key. And that is, once God gave you clarity on that, there was a battle just to get it to the finish line and a battle to keep it going, right? It's not, like you said, it's the Lord through the whole thing, and you can see his divine hand through everything. But at the same time, just because you now have clarity on it doesn't mean that the hard work's done. In fact, it's quite the opposite. This is now where all that endurance you learned praying, preparing for it comes into actual action and sticking it out. You know, talk to people about what kind of endurance it takes once you know what God's called you to.
You know, you just have to, everything's about prayer, and you just have to trust that he's going to lead you and open the doors and submit to the endurance that it takes. Because if you give up, you're ultimately quenching the spirit and sinning because you're not listening to his voice. So you just always have to be sensitive to his voice. And there's been a lot of times where I've had to have a check-in too, because you kind of get going and then you forget, you're like, oh, yeah, I probably should be praying a little bit more about this because things are getting a little rocky again. And like, he has to give you a little check-in and remind you like, hey, I'm not done here. I'm still working through you. Stop doing these things in your own thoughts and ways. You have to submit to me. And it's been hard. It always is hard, but you just have to keep going and keep your eyes on him, because if you don't, things are going to start failing. And every single time that I personally get a little distant or get pulled in different directions, I can feel it. And I just have to like tuck tail and come running back and be like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing again, but I'm trusting you. So.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I appreciate your candor. That's one of the things I've always loved about you, Val, is that you know, you're very honest, and you had a lot of wisdom to share with the women in the retreat back in Alabama just a few weeks ago, in reminding everybody that you do have a purpose, and you shared a small portion of this story. Do you have any stories that you can share with us from the pregnancy center anonymously that, you know, something just to say, hey, look, this is part of the blessing of what it's like being obedient to the Lord?
I had the privilege of meeting with a client that was definitely abortion-minded. And just a few things that cross their minds are, an unplanned pregnancy when you're young is a problem. Mm-hmm. And the quickest, easiest way, even if there's spiritual background there, is to fix the problem. So getting a pill shipped to your house without knowing anything about it is just a quick and easy fix to the problem, because it's quick and easy. Mm-hmm. And so just getting people to slow down and think about, okay, quick and easy isn't always the best long-term, and helping women think through the whole process and see the big picture. And then also having that balance of not Bible thumping someone, but remembering that you're only there to plant the seed, and our ultimate mission is to plant that seed and pray about it being watered in some way. And then trusting that God is going to do that is really, really difficult, because there's been a few cases where I'm like, oh, I just want to tell you this. Like, it's going to be okay. These are such trivial problems in life. You haven't even touched any of the big things you're going to go through. But if you just trust and go back to your foundation of the little bit of knowledge that you might have from going to church, and find someone that can guide you through that, or just keep coming back, everything's going to be okay. So in the specific case that I'm talking about, just the thought process was, I can't wear a swimsuit this summer. I won't be able to go to prom. I don't know what I'm going to do with the baby. My parents won't let me get an abortion because they're religious. And she was religious too until eighth grade. Mm. But then confirmation was over, and we're out being influenced by the world and thinking that abortion is okay. And then just the lack of knowledge too, because I'm not even going to say how old baby was, but we know that baby has a heartbeat at 21 days, and baby was past that date. So just watching and seeing her mind put two and two together about how big baby actually was. Mm-hmm. And if baby had a heartbeat at 21 days, baby is a baby, not just, it's not a baby yet. That was a difficult realization for me, that I can't always change everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. But just have to trust him. And when you say that the hard part's not over, the hard part of startup for a pregnancy center is over now. And I think that was just the process of working through some difficult situations with difficult personalities and different people from the community in order to prepare me and other people to see some of these difficult situations that really matter. Because ultimately, that all was peanuts compared to someone that's contemplating terminating their baby and not understanding that it's a baby. So it's all, like you said, just been a God process, and we weren't ready to even see clients back then. So I think that even though it was supposed to take 9 months to start up and it took us 18, we needed that to mature and be prepared for these situations. So that doesn't quite answer your question maybe, but without giving too many details, a little bit. So
yeah. And you have to be conscientious and careful. And I know that was kind of a tricky question to ask you, and I appreciate your answer. But, you know, you pointed out something that's so key, which is that you can look back now and you can see God's timing in things. And it wouldn't have been your timing, but you see the reason for it, because the hard work really begins now. And that is, you know, you're dealing with life, and you're dealing with life and death situations, and something that we have normalized in our culture and made so trivial, but it's not. It's the life of a human being. And if anybody's never gone to liveaction.org and watched an abortion, then you don't understand that what the work that Val is doing is not just, you know, ministering to these girls, but it's saving babies from a brutal reality. And abortion is very brutal. There is no easy, nice, or painless way to quote unquote have an abortion. And some might say the morning after pill, but we still don't know a lot about that yet either, and what the consequences are. So it's an emotionally taxing work that you're doing on a regular basis. And it sounds like you're grounded, knowing that you need to be grounded in the Lord, and spending time with Him is the only way to get through. So Val, if you had just some words of wisdom or words of encouragement, what would you say to people who are listening?
I think that you just have to prepare for anything, because a lot of people, when I'm thinking and praying about what my purpose is outside of being a wife and mother, I'm thinking, how can God use me as a nurse? Or how can God use me to hand out food to the homeless? Or something very simple, like, am I supposed to go and volunteer on Wednesday nights to help at... Sorry, you kind of went somewhere on my Zoom, Tiana. Can you still hear me?
Yep, can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry. It went away, but I'll just keep talking. So I was just thinking that I was going to be used for something simple that everybody else volunteers for, maybe the nursery on Sundays or something, and was not prepared to hear such a big calling. But once I realized that He was going to do this through me, and He was going to give me everything I needed, the tools, the extra education, all the promptings, even the energy to stay up late and to get up early and to constantly be going and do 5 kids on top of this and manage our business and our personal lives. And I was still working as a nurse doing hospice at the time too. Then it's like, okay, you know, it's a lot easier to just submit and do what He tells you to do when you know that He's in trust and have faith that He's just going to work all of this out, and you're not going to have to worry about it, even though it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be things that you're going to have to deal with that aren't fun and you don't want. There's so much more joy when you just submit to that and know that it is indeed Him working through you.
Yeah. And that's powerful and profound. And you know, I love your story, Val, because every time I think I don't have time or I can't, when I think about you, I'm like, okay, Tiana, you are without excuse. Val has 5 kids and she, you know, she's got the business she's running. She's got the pregnancy center. But you know, you're so right. I can look back over my own life and see that there's so many things that should not be physically possible or time-wise possible that God just perfectly orchestrates every single time. And so it's always so exciting to see Him work. Well, Val, I was going to close with Psalm 139 because I think it's the perfect psalm to talk about pro-life. But before I do, I just wanted to ask if there's anything else you'd like to add. And then I would like to ask, how can our listeners support your pregnancy center, how can they find you and how can they support the center?
I would just encourage everyone that if you don't know anything about abortion or being pro-life or any of that, if you think you know about abortion, you don't know about abortion. I would encourage everyone to go to Live Action and just even read. If you can't watch the videos of what it actually entails, read and know a little bit more about it, because there's a lot of states right now that are kind of on that fence of whether abortion will be legal, illegal, opened up to 9 months. There's some things that a lot of people just know nothing about, and it's a harsh reality that's going to hit us all, even the red states. And if you want a podcast to listen to, I would listen to Seth Gruber's podcast on Aborted as well, because that not only talks about abortion, but also the sexualization of children and how they're connected. And it's a really big thing. If you think that it's not happening to your kids in their school or by their peers, or even just the things that they're seeing on ads and on TV, you're completely wrong. It's even happening, I would say, to my five-year-olds if they get to watch things on TV or Disney or any of that. So it just really opens your eyes and makes you a little bit more aware of what's going on. And it's harsh, but it's really happening. So I would listen to that or watch some stuff on Live Action, read through it, and just educate yourselves. And then if you would like to support Haven Center in Watertown, South Dakota, you can go to thatthemayhavelife.org. And there's an option for our needs list and also monthly donations, one-time donations, however you can help, or volunteers. If you're even in South Dakota, I would love to connect with you and get to know you as well through Made to Conquer.
Awesome. Well, I will put a link to liveaction.org in the show notes and your website that they may have life.org. And it just thank you, Val, for taking time out of your busy schedule. Yeah, I think you had to arrange kids' nap time in order to squeeze this podcast in.
A little bit.
Like I said, this woman is a machine, man. She's just an inspiration in so many different ways. And I can't imagine, you know, I every time I think, you know, hear you tell that story about almost taking your life, I just, a part of me cries and a part of me rejoices that the Holy Spirit went over, because I can't imagine Made to Conquer without you, and I can't imagine this world without you. And I know that there's going to be a lot of little babies whose testimonies are going to go back to Navy not sleeping.
Right. The first Haven Center baby screamed all night long, and that's where we originated.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you so much for just being faithful to the Lord and being part of the Made to Conquer and being courageous enough to be that girl from South Dakota that got in an airplane and about knocked us all over, because everybody else drove. And Val's like, oh no, I'm going to show up in an airplane. So we were all like, you flew here?
And you had no idea how big Made to Conquer was going to be at that point.
No, there were 7 of us at that retreat. And now 2 years later, there would have been 40. We had 2 people had to cancel last minute because their kids made it into playoff games. But there, yeah, from 7 to 40 in 2 years, it's unbelievable how the Lord's blessed that. And it's, you know, I know I talk about it because this is my podcast, but it's amazing how the Lord shows up at those events, isn't it?
It is. Yep. There's no explanation for it. It's just purely him in all the right ways.
Yeah. And so many women walk away from that going, I've never been around a group of women that I felt so loved. And there was no cattiness. There's no Karen. There's no, you know what I mean? There's just this sense of connection. And even if you're there for the first time, everybody that's there for the first time, I got a note from one of the ladies that said, you know, I went there all by myself, so afraid, and, you know, trying to hold the pieces of my broken heart together. And I left there with, you know, 37 sisters and the Lord holding my heart together. And I just sat there and read that note and bawled my eyes out and thought, man, God, you're so good. I don't know how I deserve to be a part of this group of women, but I thank him every day. And I'm so glad you're one of those ladies, Al. It wouldn't be the same without you.
And you just need to keep doing what you're doing, because you talk about the biblical math, and it's going to be exciting to see it one day.
Yeah. 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 Hopefully soon. I don't know about you. I'm waiting for the rapture.
Today was kind of a big day in history, I think. So
yeah, it was. Yeah. And with the 9th coming up, you know, we'll leave that talk for Warriors Rising, but right? Paul and I are definitely not going to have a boring couple of Warriors Rising episodes coming up. Well, thank you again, Val. And if everybody will hang out, let's just read Psalm 139, because it dovetails so nicely with the work that Val's doing. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You understand my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are aware of all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, O Lord. You hem in behind and before. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Boy, we can both testify to that, right, Val? That knowing that God's hand is upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle by the farthest sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you, but the night shines like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and I know this very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days were written in your book and ordained for me. Before one of them came to be. This is just so powerful for pro-life, because there's no question that life has value in the womb. Verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is their sum. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. O God, that you would slay the wicked away from me, you bloodthirsty men who speak of you deceitfully. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and detest those who rise against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Well, thank you again, Val. And I appreciate you being the first Made to Conquer guest and for having the courage to join us on our first retreat. And we will pray for you and continue to support you. And I encourage our listeners, if you have a heart for pro-life, especially in remote towns in South Dakota, because unfortunately your story is far, far too common in small towns. Mm-hmm. And this is a great ministry to support. And Val, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
It was great to have you. You hid your South Dakota accent a little bit from us today.
Did I really? Just wait until I holler if somebody wants a piece of toast and you'll hear it come out. So.
Well, there's the toast.
Yep, the toast.
Well, thank you again, Val. And to everybody on Made to Conquer, thank you for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to Val's story as much as I have. Until next time, go tell somebody about Jesus. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Made to Conquer podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Leave a review, that really makes it so other people can find this podcast. And be sure to tell your friends and family about Made to Conquer. Anyone else you believe would enjoy joining us on this journey of drawing closer to Jesus.